This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Right to it with our man, Sal Capaccio, on the West Her Hotline. Glad to have you with us on this Monday. I am the Bulldog along with Zach Jones. Mike is off today. Sal, sorry we're getting to you late. I dragged out a story that took longer than I thought it was going to take to tell. So
I love your stories. I'm sure it was riveting. It's all good, man. No problem at all.
How, you know, obviously the draft and all the stuff we've been talking about. Yeah, you had a minute on Zach Wilson being traded for a sixth and they had to throw in a seventh. I mean, it's one of these minutes where I think you can just thank your lucky stars the Bills found their way to Josh Allen, because that 2021 draft is, I mean, it's Wilson and Trey Lance and Justin Fields. And you know what else stands out to me is the receivers that went in the top 10 that year. Pretty good. Pretty good hit rate on the receivers there. I know it's a small sample, but Zach Wilson, second overall. And Sal, did he ever look the part ever?
For maybe a half last year, wasn't there one game where a half he was pretty awesome? Was that even against Houston, maybe, or something? Or
there was
whatever game it was.
There maybe what there was a game last
Kansas
year.
Kansas City.
Kansas City, Zach says. Yeah.
He looked okay. Kansas City was a night game. They looked okay, and then later in the year, I think he came in again and he looked all right. But you're right. I think that was about it. Otherwise, never really looked the part, as you say. And look, I do think there's something for organization and development. And I've always thought that if Josh Allen had been drafted by the Jets, sure, he'd still, I think, be really good because his physical talents. I don't think he'd be Josh Allen. He wouldn't be a top three MVP candidate pretty much every single year. I always thought if Sam Darnold was drafted by the Bills, he'd be better than he was in New York. He wouldn't be Josh Allen, but he'd be better. And look at what the Jets have done or not done, I guess, with that quarterback position. I think that where you go situationally, organizationally, development means so much. Now, there's only so far much in any organization can do. I get that, right? But that's why this year, Bulldog, it's super interesting to me. Like, I mean, I think Jaden Daniels' career, and I don't know which one will be which, but I think Jaden Daniels' career, for example, could be wildly different if he goes to the Commanders or the Patriots or the Vikings, right? I mean, whatever it is. I don't know. I'm not telling you which one will be better than the other. But I don't think it would be nearly the same trajectory based on that because of all these factors that involve the quarterbacks.
Yeah, no, I totally hear you there. And I think we should strap in for a pretty wild week and maybe a wild Thursday especially because, you know, we're seeing, you know, again, this fluctuation with the time. Like, oh, it's going to be Drake May now. The betting odds are changing. And like last year, Will Levis was the favorite to be the second overall pick. Not just like the second overall pick, and he ended up not going until the second round. So, and outside of Caleb Williams, it feels like almost nothing would surprise me. Like if the Patriots skipped May or Daniels, like whoever Washington doesn't take, and picked J.J. McCarthy instead, or traded down and drafted, I don't know, Michael Penix Jr. later on after they make a trade with, say, Minnesota or somebody who was really desperate to get their hands on J.J. McCarthy. Like, nothing would surprise me at this point.
Agreed. It's funny. So today I did a little video podcast with John Scott, and we did an exercise where we do this every year. He starts off pick number one, or in this case, I started this year, pick one, Caleb Williams. He gets two, I get three, we go. And then we do it again, but we reverse the order, right? And it's funny because right away, like, we both took Williams, but when I went, when he went first with pick number two, he took Drake May. When I went first with pick number two, I took Jaden Daniels. And that has such a ripple effect on what happens. And of course, in what we're doing, we're not going to trade, right? It just makes it a too tough of an exercise. But we both agreed. You get down like, okay, this is the spot where we think the Vikings would trade up to. Like, the Vikings are the team here, right? Aren't they? Because they made that trade a while ago to get to where they are to have these first-round picks. You know, they're picking number 11 overall, and, you know, they're probably positioning themselves their first-round pick.
And they've got 23, too. Yeah, right.
There it is. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's the one I was forgetting. But they are doing something, and I think that they have positioned themselves to be able to kind of move up. Now, who knows? One thing I read today, I don't know if you saw, like, Adam Schefter had a little bit of a note on things that they're hearing. Patriots moved down out of three, but then moved back up still to get another quarterback. And I thought that was interesting.
That's where the Penix Jr. idea came from to me. And I heard Steve Tasker talking about this with Chris Brown on One Bills Live on my way in today. I feel like, I mean, what do we know? What do I know, right? But, like, Penix Jr., I liked him a lot in college, and it's hard. You know, you go through the process here, you're reading all the different scouting reports and opinions about these guys, and I recognize that Penix is where he is for a reason. The consensus is he's, you know, what, the fourth or fifth or sixth quarterback in this draft, depending on who you read. I don't think anyone's got him fourth. That's J.J. McCarthy. But, man, of the guys I watched play this year, and I watched all these guys, at least some, man, I feel like Penix Jr. is the guy that I'd be most worried about being in the Bills division myself.
Really? I'm not. I think he reminds me a lot of Tua, not just because they're left-handed, by the way. I just think that's natural maybe when you see that. I think he could be good. He really can. I just don't think he has the highest ceiling. I think he could be a nice, steady quarterback for a team, but they're going to have to really build around him. The way I see him is accurate, not super mobile. You know, so not a guy that's really going to threaten me in a lot of different ways that a lot of these quarterbacks can. I think Jaden Daniels has the highest upside of any quarterback in this draft.
I agree with that.
Now, Caleb Williams can be special. He can be great. I'm not really sure. Let's see where that goes. But I think given the right situation, the right coaching, and the right environment, I think Jaden Daniels will be the guy that would scare me the most. If the Patriots get their hands on Jaden Daniels, I'm like, okay, what are they doing now? And I actually like their offseason. I still don't think they're going to be that good this year, but I think they're building it the right way finally. I think Elliott Wolf's done a nice job to kind of really change everything about how they do things, and I think they're kind of figuring it out now to live in a post-Brady world where they really haven't the last few years. So I think, you know, that's the case there. I am not the guy for me. I'm not high on J.J. McCarthy that much. And if the Patriots want J.J. McCarthy, great. Again, maybe a nice steady starter for a long time. I don't see it. I don't see the high upside, the high ceiling. And I think that's what you have to shoot for. If you're going to draft a quarterback now, well, first round in the NFL draft, you're going to make him your franchise quarterback. I think we have a body of evidence now over the last several years. You shoot for the stars. You go for the guy with the highest upside, the highest ceiling.
I 100% agree. I feel like McCarthy, the warning signs to me were there as soon as Benjamin Albright might have been the first person I saw saying anything like this. Once we get into the process, I'm like sort of paraphrasing what I saw Albright tweet back in February. Once the process begins, teams are going to love McCarthy.
Yep.
And I think, you know, you've heard the story. I assume you've heard the story about him, his recruiting visit to Michigan, telling the other recruits, don't come here if you want to party or chase girls or whatever, because we're here to win. And he sounds like, out of central casting, a coach's dream. And I feel like once those voices start getting heard, that's where the push up the board starts to happen for a guy like that. And I'd be terrified of that because I don't think the talent is there. I mean, he can play, obviously. He played at a high level in college, but I don't think he's a difference-making type player talent-wise. And having all the want to and doing every other thing off the field and studying and being you know, on task is only going to get you so far if you are limited athletically. And that's what I feel like McCarthy might be.
Yeah, I like all that on him. You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Alabama quarterbacks, where they're surrounded by all these five-star talents, and they're never really having to be the best player on the field for their team because they have so much other talent, and they have good defenses, and they're well-coached, and that's pretty much Michigan last year. Did anybody ever see J.J. McCarthy ever really have to get his way out of crisis and have to pull his team out from the abyss, right? Like, look, it doesn't mean he can't do it. I've just never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a lot of warning signs with guys like that. Like, that's what Alabama quarterbacks are. That was Tua, really, at Alabama, right? Which is, hey, he was a really nice player, and he was a really big part of their success. But what do you really have to do for them? Now, Caleb Williams put up tons of numbers. USC is typically that program. I mean, they were not that good. They didn't have a ton of talent. Their defense was horrible. And yet he's having to win games 50-48 if they can, right? So I think that's why I'm like, okay, this guy can play. He's really good. And there's a lot of questions about him and the business side and off the field. Those things come into play there. And I just think Jaden Daniels has the highest upside, the highest tools. I mean, you put him in a lab, you build a quarterback. Out of all the guys, you come out with the closest fit to what Jaden Daniels is.
Yeah. I have to admit, like, I've been as susceptible as anyone. I'm glad we ended up here talking about quarterbacks here. We'll get to receivers today or as the week goes on. But Daniels, the highlights of him getting absolutely obliterated in the open field have an impact when you're thinking about or talking about these guys. But I feel like it's how many plays is it actually, right? I mean, you watch the highlights and it's like, oh my God, this guy's taking these ridiculous shots. He's never going to survive. I'm not saying it's not a concern, but I feel like the reaction to that is like, you know, he's going to do that all the time. And you better watch out because he can't cross the street without getting hit by a bus or something.
Right.
And I doubt that it's like such a frequent occurrence, but it's a concern. Like, you know, he's not a real big guy and he took some cartoonish looking shots.
Yeah. And I do think that, you know, that's something that's got to be coachable, right? You have to be able to coach him. You have to be able to tell him and help him with that. And he's going to have to learn very quickly. It's a lot like Josh, although Josh hasn't learned that completely yet, right? He's just got that DNA in him where he does that. But how much have we heard about that? But he was better about it last year. But that is something he's going to have to learn as he gets into the NFL game about, you know, where and when to take those shots. But I do like him as a prospect. It doesn't mean he's going to be great. Even if he has the right environment, I'm not sure. But I do think that's the guy to me. You put him in the right spot, I think he has the chance to be the most special.
Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline here on WGR. NFL Draft coming on Thursday with round one. We'll have lots of coverage, including lots of Facebook Live and streaming available for those who like to put faces with the voices. You'll have a chance to do that during our shows on Thursday and Friday between 4 and 6 p.m. What about Drake May for you, Sal? I'm a little scared of him myself, and I'll tell you why, but what do you make of Drake May?
Like him, don't love him. I think that he is more of a, again, more of a safer pick along the J.J. McCarthy line than he is a high-ceiling pick along the lines of Jaden Daniels. I like him more than J.J. McCarthy. I think that he did enough for me to show me that, you know, I think that he can have some special moments in this league. I don't know if I would really peg him to be next 10 years, we're pretty set. Let's go, let's roll, let's work around him. I mean, it's possible. I'm going to leave that option open for me,
yeah.
But I see him somewhere between what I said McCarthy was and what I think Daniels is.
The reason I'm a little skittish about him is I'm concerned. I've read numerous places, and look, this doesn't have to be right. So, and there's hardly a consensus on this, that athletically there's nothing absolutely high. Like, he's not a great runner. He's not a great athlete. The arm is all right. It's not great. He's got some ball placement issues. Like, of course, he completed a high percentage of passes in college, so it's not a direct Josh Allen comp. But I feel like with Allen's trajectory and what he created for himself and the Bills by turning into the player he's become, I think it's easy to look at a guy like, oh, this guy's big and he runs, and I think he could be the next Josh Allen. And I just don't know athletically if he's in the same conversation as a guy like Josh Allen. And I think that's a real concern to me, because I think the running advantage that he may have enjoyed in college, I'm not sure is going to translate.
It's funny. Are you almost like describing Mitch Trubisky, who's from the same school?
I guess, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, Trisky's a little more slight of build than May. May's a big, thick kid
right.
like Josh.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I just don't know that he's – I don't think he's as athletically talented as a guy like Josh, and that puts
right,
a lid on how high that's going to get, you know?
Isn't it funny, though? I mean, Josh, I mean, if you're going to compare him, I mean, it's so tough, you know,
yeah,
that's the
bar. Of course,
it's tough for anybody to do. Of course it is.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, you think – but when you look at his peers, I do think he's athletic. I do think he's talented like that. But, yeah, I don't know if – I mean, look, but here's the thing about this, Bulldog, which is if I'm picking one, two, or three in this draft, as much as we say these things about these guys, I'm probably taking one of them because I got to do it. It's a
right.
quarterback, and I got to fix my organization, and I cannot risk as a GM passing on Drake May and him becoming great. Just can't have it.
I guess I would tell you that I hope the Patriots do that if the Washington takes Jaden Daniels, because
yes.
I don't as much as I said what I said about Penix. I would worry more about Penix on New England than I would Drake May. So I hope they just pick Drake May, and I'll live with it. Like, if he turns into a stud, I'll have to answer for that, I'm sure. But I think the savvy thing for them to do would be to get out of there then and mm-hmm. do something else, you know, get back in the, you know, trade down and see if they can figure something else out. I guess we didn't mention Bo Nix here at all, but he's not getting picked on Thursday, I don't think.
I don't think so, but I've seen some things now tying the Rams to him, and they don't need a quarterback right away. And I know he's a little older, so
I saw this over the weekend
about...
too. Thank you. I was thinking
yeah.
as I was beginning today, where did I see Nix attached to, or who did I see attached to the Rams? And it was Nix. That's right.
And you think, you know, he ran a complicated offense, and it's a fun offense. Sean McVay could probably really like that. You don't have to put him in right away. You got Matthew Stafford. But it's wild because the Rams have not had a first-round pick in years either, right? So it's crazy to think about. Like, that could be – but, yeah, I agree with you. But if there's a team, that's the team that I think that, you know, could be someone – I think the Raiders could be a team that might like something like that too.
Yeah, yeah. And they're maybe in – you know, we'll see. If the middle of the round there where it's Denver, Raiders – well, Minnesota's at 11. They're probably going to move out of there and do something bigger. But Denver and the Raiders at 12 and 13, respectively, if Penix or Nix are going to go in the first round, maybe that's the spot, unless they trade down and get out of there and try to get them later on. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline for just a couple of more moments here on WGR. So we put it off here. As I said, we'll have all week to really get into it. But as the week is beginning here, how are you feeling about the Bills and the wide receiver train, and like what's your favorite pathway to securing what we think will be a first round receiver? At least I think will be.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
A first round receiver.
I still think trading up, not super high, but if you want a Dunze, you're going to have to do it. And I mean, that's my dream. Go get him. But I mean, man, you're going to have to give up a lot. And I wouldn't love that. But, you know, and then you think, well, did you have to do that? It's like, did you have to go get Sammy Watkins when you could have had Odell? Right? That kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and so that's what scares me. But, man, he's just, I think he really could be special. I mean, of course, you'd love to have Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers. But, you know, I think you might have to trade up a little bit for Brian Thomas Jr. Now, I will say, including this exercise I did with John today, a little tease if anybody wants to watch that, but I've seen a couple of mocks that had him falling to 28,
yeah.
Brian Thomas Jr., and I just, at some point, someone's going to trade up and do that, so you might have to be the one. If they stay where they are, boy, it's a tough call, you know? I mean, what happened to Troy Franklin? He's just fallen off the face of anybody's, you know, anything that we talked about. He was the flavor a couple months ago. Do you really, like, is that too early to take Ladd McConkey? Is that too early to take Xavier Legette? I think these are questions you really have to answer. I think the two guys that'll be right there are the two guys from Texas, Mitchell and Worthy. And then it might become your flair. Now, if it's between the two, I prefer Xavier Worthy because he's a return man. I think this team has to have a return man as well. And you could really knock that out. And he could really contribute in year one. But at the same time, how much is he contributing at wide receiver? I don't know. I mean, maybe A.D. Mitchell will be a little bit more in that regard so that you need somebody. So that's a tough call right there. But I think you wait till 28 and you're probably left with that group. The guy that it's still, I'm so polarizing on is Keon Coleman. I really don't know what to do with him.
I know. Like it's Sal. I mean, this happens every year, but I guess with this group, I feel like I've seen and read and heard more pros and cons about each of these guys than I can remember. Outside of those top three, I mean, I don't find a lot of people telling you what the flaws of Odunze Neighbors or Harrison Jr. Are. The best I we could get is someone mentioned Neighbors maybe going to Mardi Gras or something with his friends and teams might be like, I don't know. Odunze is to me, I'm with you. Like, that is the dream to me. I just think his profile athletically, I'm impressed every time I hear him talk. I think that that could be a guy that could really fit what the Bills are all about here.
I agree with you. I mean, if there's a way to do it, I think you try to do it. It's going to cost you next year's first. You just have to understand that that's going to, and Brandon Bean would understand that. I think it's just more of how much more than that, because obviously that's going to be a pretty big premium. And I still think, Bulldog, I keep going back to, they made it known they were really upset about not getting that third round comp. And then 2 weeks later, they get a second rounder next year. And those two things are equal to each other. And Brandon said it himself last week. He said a third rounder this year. He said it in a way, he said it's a round higher. So a third rounder this year is equal to a second rounder next year. Well, if you were thinking that third rounder is going to help you get up to where you need to go, then now you have that in place with next year's second rounder. And oh, by the way, it's easier to trade next year's first if you have 2 seconds.
Yeah. That is right. All right, buddy. Well, thank you very much for this. I'm sure we'll be bugging you all week long here as we go headed toward Thursday. But you aren't kidding about Troy Franklin, Sal. Have you been in here? He's not even on the big wide receiver big board that Joe and Jeremy created.
Like, I believe they added him today in some capacity. And their own. Like, it might not be right there, but I believe they did add him today after we talked about him. But you're right. It's the same thing. I'm like, where's Troy Franklin?
Yeah. It's at the printer. They got to get the sticker made, I guess, to put that up there. All right. Thanks a lot for this, Sal. We'll catch up probably as soon as tomorrow.
All right. You got it.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? All right, what say you, man? The receivers, the quarterbacks, I had a good time talking with Sal there, and it's not something we've taken a lot of calls on because, well, the Bills are all set at quarterback, but there's always intrigue with those guys at the top of the draft. I've shared some opinions on all of the potential first-round guys. You got anything on that, that's fine. You want to just keep talking about receivers, we'll do that as well as we move forward. 803-0550 is the number for you to get in on the show. Along with Zach Jones, I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is out today. Thanks for listening to WGR.
I will say this, it's specific to Buffalo. You have to look at so many teams right there with you as being in the same area of need that you're in. You know, we know that Kansas City wants to get a wide receiver. San Francisco could be after a wide receiver. You cannot rule out the Detroit Lions at wide receiver. And then at the top of round two, you have the Carolina Panthers sitting right there at 33. You have the New England Patriots sitting right there. There are so many wide receiver needy teams. And I think that's where with Buffalo, you have to be somewhat conservative, because when everyone in the league knows what your perceived top need is, pretty easy to get jumped.
That is ESPN NFL draft analyst Matt Miller on with the fellas at One Bills Live today. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker. The trade down, that echoes something that I said earlier today already. Like the fear bunker comment I made during the 3 o'clock hour. I don't think there's a fear bunker that can be constructed strongly enough to contain what I would tell you my fear would be, let alone fans, the rest of the fans, other fans besides me. I think, okay, hey, I can pick up this and that, and I can get out of here, and it's a receiver-rich draft, and I'll push off making my pick until Friday. Let me get out of here. That's smart, right? Now I'm going to sit here and watch Detroit and Baltimore and San Francisco and Kansas City. Kansas City especially. Oh, I know It's not exact. It doesn't mean those players will be great. And if the Bills got out of there, they obviously, you know, didn't want to move on a guy there. I just can't imagine sitting in my living room or in a bar watching the first round of the draft. Like, imagine you're out with Joe and Jer at their event at Resurgence. Sounds like a great idea, by the way. This draft party they're hosting Thursday night. And we're waiting all night, right? It's a long night. It's into the 11 o'clock hour, and the Bills are on the clock, and oh, they've made a trade. They've moved down. They've picked up a second and a third, and they're getting out of the first round. And okay, hey, that was smart. They must really like some guys that are going to be coming up. Great. We're going to go to bed Thursday night, if you can sleep at all, having watched any or all of Detroit, Baltimore, San Francisco, and the Chiefs draft wide receivers after you got out of there. Oh man, like all four of those teams probably aren't going to pick receivers that late in round one, but they could. A couple of them could. The Chiefs could. Isn't that all that matters? The Chiefs. I say earlier, whoever they pick is going to be the guy you should have picked. It's a mental, you know, it's a mind, you know, one of those, because they're so good. And, oh, they must know what they're doing, and they grab a guy that you decided you could pass on. Oh, I mean, I recognize that this could happen if you trade up or stay put and draft a guy they're going to pick eventually, and whoever they pick, it's going to be very hard, I think, for a certain type of fan to just not go, oh, they got the guy. Of course they got the guy. We should have got that guy. How come we didn't pick that guy? It's tough. That's the deal. 803-0550 is the number. It's, you know, a scenario that could play out. I don't know. Maybe they'll draft a linebacker. The Chiefs. Imagine the Chiefs at 32 drafting a linebacker. Like, no. Of course they're gonna take a receiver. Of course they are. I don't know any of this. 803-0550 is the number that needed to be said. Patrick is up first this segment. Hi, Patrick. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. First-time caller.
It's okay. I'm Chris. Mike is off today, but that's fine.
Oh, sorry. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. I just didn't want to let that just go by. There was a thing that circulated last week where Charles Barkley called Chris Russo Mike 20 times during a conversation and never corrected him. So I don't want to have that happen to you or me, Patrick. So well, just, all right.
As you can tell, I'm a first-time caller. So I moved from Rochester, I'd say, about 3 years ago, and I've been listening to you guys ever since. So I absolutely love listening to you guys after I get out of work.
Thank you. That's awesome. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So I'm in the boat for either, you know, after listening to your explanation of trading down, now I'm starting to rethink my trading down position because now I'm starting to get a little scared if the Chiefs and all those guys get a, you know, get the guy in front of us. But I feel like there's so many the guys at the end of the first, beginning of the second. Either trade up for Rumah Dunze and give up, you know, next year's first, probably our second next year, hold on to that dig second, and, you know, go get a guy like a Dunze because Chicago needs so many draft picks. Or I'm also in the boat of trading down and, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully like it's still in the top 10 of that second round. We can get a guy like, you know, again, the guy, you know, there's the Leggett, yep. There's Ed and I Mitchell. I'm cool with any of those guys, I guess, except Xavier Worthy. You know, we've drafted speed guys from Texas in the past and I'm okay, you know, passing on that. And then honestly, a guy, I don't know if you've even looked at him. I know you've been a big Keon Coleman type of guy,
yeah.
But, Jalen Polk, he was the 1B to Adunze mm-hmm. in Washington. He's a great guy. And if we wanted to possibly get him, if he's there in the third round, he's another guy. I would love to double up. If we're trading back, then we double up or we go all for it, you know, with Rumah Dunze. But that's me.
Yeah.
Trade back if you can't get a Dunze. But if that's, you know, what you're able to do, then I would love for them to trade back and double up on receiver.
Before you go, let me ask you one question. As you were laying out what it would cost to get a Dunze on your team, yeah. You mentioned the second from next year. If it takes, because my guess is it might, your second this year, do you still want to make that trade? Like your first and second this year, your first and a fourth next year is maybe a trade that would get you to nine.
So if it's first and a second, so if it's the first next year, and then I wouldn't want to give up my second for this year.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to try and make it for next year.
Right.
Now, if you're asking, do I want to trade back? Or I'm sorry, do I want to trade up and have it be the second rounder involving, like, you know, the Minnesota. Because I think, honestly, you know, I think that second rounder we got for Diggs was an absolute steal. And the fact that we might get a top 10 pick in the second round next year, I think that's more something you should hold on to. So if you're, I guess if you're asking if it's the second rounder this year, you know, I guess twist my arm. I think they have two first round picks, a third and a fourth rounder. So we have so much ammo in the back half of this, you know, this year's draft. You know, maybe give them an extra fourth, fifth, and then, you know, your first and second next year. But yeah. I wouldn't want to give away this year's second.
Yeah, I don't either. And but I'll, you know, these things are always going to hurt to some extent. And I think for me, as much as the whole pile of stuff could hurt, right? But I'm willing to do it. The piece that hurts the most is if it takes this year's second, because you only have the one, you don't have the third, so you are basically you're taking Friday off. You are drafting a trade with the Bears to get Rome Odunze, receiver out of Washington, in case you're not following the trail of breadcrumbs here. So you go do that. It costs you your first 28, 60, your second, and then next year's first and a fourth. That second is the one that really hurts, because you already don't have the third. It's nice that you've got the two for next year. You'd much rather include one of those in this trade, but guess what? The team making the deal is going to want the value, because that second for next year right now is viewed like a third. At the moment of the draft, the Bears would want, I think, the second that is a second right now. Like, let me get a player I can, you know, I'm not taking a Odunze myself. I'm getting out of here, and I'm going down to where the Bills are living, which means I'm, you know, I'm open to all these other guys that we're talking about. But you're going to want that second, I think, if you're the Bears, for this year, not push it off for next year.
Especially because they only have four picks.
Right. It would really surprise me if you can make that level of trade from 28 to 9 and have it not hurt. That second this year, I think, almost has to be included in that trade. And that's the piece of it to me that makes me go, like, I don't know how good an idea this is. Okay, I'll do it. That's me, though. That second is going to be a tough one to give up on, because you're just, again, you're taking Friday doesn't exist to you anymore. You are waiting until Saturday, and that could be tough. I mean, I'm not as worried about the other needs, but missing an entire day of the draft in an offseason where you've said goodbye to Tre'Davious White and Mitch Morse and Jordan Poyer and probably Micah Hyde and whoever else is on that list, holy cow. That might be tough. That could hurt. 803-0550 is the number. Thank you for the call. We'll take more of your calls as we continue here, but we have to take a break right now. 6 o'clock, we'll have Paul Hamilton on the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs and the now active coaching search that the Sabres have undertaken. But between now and then, a good hour plus, we're just hanging and talking about the draft. So feel free to get in here at 803-0550. Mike is off today. I am the Bulldog, along with Zach Jones. You're listening to WGR. The beat goes on here on a Monday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is out today. Hope to have him back for the balance of the week. We've got Zach Jones here handling the wheels of steel, as always. 803-0550 is the number. Talking about the draft. Trade up, trade back, stay put, big trade, smaller trade. It's all the rage. All the kids are talking about it. I have no idea. 803-0550 is the number. Damien is first up this segment. Hi, Damien. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Great show as always. I got a question. I know the receiver train is bored with the Bills. Do you think if BTJ, Mitchell, or Worthy are available at 28, do you think the Bills will double dip in the second round, or would they wait to double dip later on day three?
My guess and what I would advocate for. Thank you, Damien, for the call. Good question. I liked the idea when we all thought they were getting that third round pick of going first and third and, you know, doing whatever else. It's safety, interior offensive line, corner even, whatever. Something else. I think not having that third, it would surprise me, and nor would I, as much as I love the idea of them getting a second you know, a second chip in the game here at receiver. I don't think I want to go double-double there. I don't think I want to take receivers with both of those picks. Not having that third on Friday really hurts that. So I would be surprised if they went that route. And if they did, I mean, I'm not gonna be the one that throws myself in front of the moving, very fast moving, maybe by the point of the draft, burning wide receiver train. You got a flaming train with no brakes rolling downhill looking for receivers. I'm not gonna be the one to get in the way, but I do not need them to go 28 and then 60 at receiver. I would wait until Saturday. I think what they end up doing at 28 could impact that. You know, I think if they trade down, which is not my favorite idea, but if they were to do that, get out of the first round entirely and pick up a third and whatever else, then maybe two of those picks, if I have three picks on day two with the trade down, then maybe that's an idea for me, to take two guys there. But I don't think a first and a second at the same position is called for. So it's not where I would want to end up in all this. Thank you. I appreciate the idea, though. Dave is up next. Hi, Dave. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good.
I'm kind of looking at it from Josh Allen's view of this. I mean, how happy can he possibly be with losing two of his core receivers this year? And then, you know, any kind of talk about trading down, if I was him in this point in his career, he wants to, you know, a top receiver in this league.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to get this offense going. And I just can't imagine him being a real happy camper right now with, you know, here's a bunch of kind of middle receivers, and are we going to run an offense like that with a bunch of middle receivers while these other teams have top receivers? So I can't see how the Bills can possibly trade down. They need to take a swing here, don't you think?
Yes. Yes, I think so. I really do. I think I agree with you about Allen. Like, I'm not expecting him to be, like, you know, raising holy hell over there or anything. But, I mean, he has to know, I think, I would expect, and so would they, what Diggs meant to him and his development. And the idea that suddenly, because he's reached this level of his career, I can just make it work with just your name here, receiver, you know, which is a bit of an exaggeration from how the Bills have been talking about it. You know, just no number one. Like, oh, we, you know, pass catchers, run after catch, all this stuff. A lot of fans, I feel like, are rationalizing the Bills receiver core as, I've got Josh Allen, therefore he'll make whoever gets on the field great. And I don't need a number one. I just need playmakers. And I don't care if they're all 6 foot, 180 pounds. I do. I'm just going to raise my hand and tell you that I do care if they're all the same guy. I think having a number one, a bona fide stud, matters. It has mattered to this team. It should continue to matter. Now, where you shop for that guy, and you know, do you need to get him at 9, or can you get him at 20, or can you get him at 28? Look, that's the debate. That's the conversation here. But any idea that the Bills are fine and, you know, it doesn't really matter, they just get a guy, even if it's a duplicate of Khalil Shakir, I object. I do not buy that. I think that is just – I think it's nothing but smoke. It's why I think knowing how they operate, knowing how they've operated in the past – I still cannot believe they would divest themselves of Diggs and just sit back with their arms folded going, well, we'll just see what 28, we'll trade back. That seems completely contrary to what we know Brandon Bean to be as a GM of this team. So I think it's way more likely, and I support it, that they will be aggressive to make sure they have an answer for the 150 targets that walked out the door. 150 catches. Between Davis and Diggs. Diggs himself, I think, was around 150 targets. So there's a lot. There's a hole there. And they can say all they want that there's not a hole, but there's a hole. We all can see it. They see it. They know it. 803-0550 is the number. We'll keep the calls going, provided you're there. Love to talk to you. Love the feedback so far. come on in. The water's super warm. There's lines open. 803-0550 is the number. What do we want the Bills to do about their receiver room? Mike is off today along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog. Thanks for listening to WGR.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.